You're listening to Thunder Quack Podcast Network.
Hey, guys, who am I?
Haggis and Topats, bless me bagpipes.
Ugh, this place is for no-account freeloaders, looking to get something for nothing.
Yeah, that's true, Scroogey McBillions, and I am the best at getting something for nothing.
Welcome back to Cartoon Afternoon for DuckTales Season 1, Episode 6, House of the Lucky Gander. I am one of your hosts, Michael Cohen.
And I am your other host, Curtis Findlay.
Awesome. And some people might be confused. If you're in Canada, you're confused because House of the Lucky Gander hasn't aired yet. But so a couple weeks ago, we said that we were, or I guess last week, we said the next episode. No, two episodes ago, we said the next episode would be the...
An infernal internship with
Mark Beeks. And then last week, we said, actually, no, it'll be House of the Lucky Gander. They changed it the last second. Well, apparently, Disney XD in Canada didn't get the memo. And
must have been a last minute change because the ABC press site for DuckTales doesn't have that change in there. It has them the other way around still.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about House of Lucky Gander tonight. And then next week we'll talk about the Mark Beeks episode. It's just a little bit of it was a little confusing for us too because. I didn't have the proper episode queued up initially. I had watched the Mark Beeks episode, so I've seen both, and they're both pretty good. So
there you go.
But we got some news. Do you want to jump into that?
Sure. Yeah. Over on Action Figure Insider, that site posted some really nice pictures of these new figures that we talked about last week from Funko. They look pretty good. Hey, Mike.
They look fantastic. One of the things with Funko is that their product shots always look really great, and then the product is not necessarily that level. We'll have to wait and see what the actual finished product looks like on the shelves. Yeah. But if they do look like they do in these pictures, then I'm all for it. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about these.
Yeah, I think they will. Funko does it for collectability and display purposes. They're not necessarily going to withstand the rigorous. I don't know, 8-year-old manhandling or anything like that.
Yeah, probably not. Although, I mean, like they're somewhat posable, and they have actually some really really good articulation. I'm looking at the Darkwing one, and the arms are on ball joints.
Yep, same with the head.
Yeah, so like I mean, I think these are going to be pretty good. I think they're going to be. If posability wise, at least, we'll have to wait and see what the paint apps look like in person. But there's one thing that annoys me. The gun is a solid color.
Yeah, it's not show accurate.
Yeah, but that's okay.
So this comes out. These figures come out in November, and that's a lot. The mini pops come out in November as well. That's going to be an expensive month for those of you who want to buy all of the Disney Afternoon merch out there.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm surprised. Usually they give more lead time with this kind of stuff, don't they? Because they've just announced it and it's coming out in 1 month.
Yeah, it is odd. Clearly, Funko got the Disney Afternoon license to do more than just the pop vinyls, and they've been working on this for a while. But this just kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah, sure did. Well, I'm hoping that the next wave is just 4 or 5 months away.
Yeah, hopefully. A year
or something. Yep.
Hopefully. But yeah, man, I can't wait to get my hands on that Darkwing Duck. Oh, it looks so good.
House of the Lucky Gander.
Yeah.
Do you want to read off the episode description for us?
Sure, yeah. Here we go. Donald competes with his cousin Gladstone Gander to impress Louie at a mysterious resort in Macaw, while Scrooge tries to lure the kids away from the resort's endless distractions. So this episode aired October 14th, 2017. Writer Christian... we got to figure out how to pronounce this name.
Magalhaes.
Sure. Yeah. Director Matthew Humphreys and Tom Owens.
So this is the same team that did the Terror of the Terra Firmians episode from last week.
Yeah, so interesting, because not necessarily the order that they would have initially aired in, right?
Right, they would have been spaced apart quite a bit, yeah.
Awesome. Just overall, this was an interesting episode. It was kind of... The thing that I find really interesting is that the way that they're airing these episodes, we haven't actually gotten an adventure episode yet. And yet this entire episode revolves around them trying to get to an adventure.
Yes.
And it's like, there's this really weird tone that is totally not intended by the writers and creators of the show, but that Disney XD is creating, where we're sitting here going like, are they ever actually going to go on a treasure hunt in this DuckTales? Like, when does this DuckTales become the actual DuckTales other than in the first episode? Right.
So the adventure that they are trying to get to turns out to be a non-adventure, like that we see at the very end of the episode. Mm-hmm. And then throughout it, Scrooge even makes some comments like, finally an adventure. And then it's the race and Gladstone and Donald get to participate in the race. And he's like, I don't even get to be part of this adventure. And we're like, yeah, we feel for you, Scrooge. We're right there with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Launchpad goes on a high adventure of epic proportions.
Yep.
And we don't see it.
And it's all off screen. Actually, I'll start right there, because that's one of my top three moments is the way that they bookend the episode. I just think it's so great. I think that there's a very obvious problem with the character of Launchpad McQuack in this version of DuckTales. He is a show stealer, and they know that. And I think that this episode is evidence that the writers know that, like, we can't have Launchpad in every episode because he will just steal the spotlight from the rest of the characters. And whatever his B story is in the background, it's way more interesting than the A story. So with this episode, they literally take his B story and they put it completely off screen.
Yep.
And so at the beginning, when he's basically like, I'm coming for you. Whatever his friend's name is.
But this is
seems
really
like a romantic interest.
Oh, well, yeah, I think he's his girlfriend, doesn't he?
Does he? Maybe. Yeah.
Whose family is having some problems with the mob, the Chinese mob.
Yeah.
And so this is really interesting, because I think we could get some really, really incredible flashback stories about Launchpad's past.
Yeah.
Because we know nothing about Launchpad.
We know nothing about Launchpad in the context of this version of the show. I think the really interesting thing is to have him go off, have this crazy adventure, and then at the end, he's got the eye patch and the little baby panda in the back of his backpack thing.
With arrows and sticking in his back.
Yeah, and so clearly he's been on this crazy adventure, and he doesn't even reference it. Nobody even notices. They'll just kind of pay him no mind. And when you put him, the original Launchpad, when you put him up against Darkwing, it was like, okay, I guess that Launchpad's going to hang out with this superhero. And, you know, they find their groove and all that, and Launchpad becomes an important part of the team. But it's always a little bit, it's always a little bit weird. The crew in Darkwing Duck is always a little off.
Yeah.
But this version of Launchpad, although he's zanier and kookier than the original, he's also, I don't know, he also seems a little bit edgier at times as well. So I feel like he would actually be a better match for Darkwing. So I would love to eventually get his backstory elements in a Darkwing Duck story.
Totally.
If that happens later on down the road, it's going to happen. Look at all these toys that they're making. Disney is clearly back in the Disney afternoon business.
I enjoyed having all three of the nephews in this episode.
Yep.
Kind of all they get split up a little bit throughout the episode, but they're all there and they're all cracking their jokes and having their moments. And my favorite nephew moment was at the beginning when I don't even remember who it was now. Louis maybe. He's like, they're talking about Gladstone and how excited they are to see it. And he's like, yeah, he's the coolest uncle. He's our coolest uncle, and Donald takes offense to that. And they're like, oh, yeah, sorry, our coolest non-trillionaire uncle. Yeah, I thought that was a good moment.
I love it because they're poking fun at the fact that every single member of this family is special in some way, right? Like, they're all, everybody is exceptional. And so it's kind of like, oh, well, he's my favorite uncle. Oh, he's my favorite non-trillionaire uncle. And then there's Donald at the bottom of the list, who's just a normal guy as far as they're concerned. But obviously, we know better. One of my other favorite moments in this episode is also at the beginning, when Donald is kind of going through his memories of growing up with Gladstone. And the recurring joke of the $20 bill, which comes back at the end of the episode as well. And especially my favorite gag was he bends over to pick up the $20 bill or whatever. Or Donald bends over to pick up the $20 bill, trips, and
the Bugle Boy.
The Bugle Boy trips over him, and then Donald is like pegged as a co-conspirator or whatever, as being in on the heist. And then the headline reads bail posted at $20. So like, even though he picked up the $20 bill, he immediately loses the $20. And I just thought that was too funny.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Well, and Gladstone gets some pretty good moments in here. And my favorite part of Gladstone was the nicknames that he gives Uncle Scrooge, including Scroogey McBillions, Uncle McDunkle, and my favorite, Screwdriver McDollar Signs.
Yeah, that one was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, oh man, I think one of the best jokes in this episode by far is when Donald is at the game and he's just throwing out numbers and constantly losing, and then they slowly reveal that it's he starts saying 27, 27, 27, and he just repeats 27, and then they pull back to reveal that it's how many fingers am I holding up guessing game, and then Louis has the line, how does he think that he's even holding up 27 fingers? And it's just, I love the idea that this episode is, it revolves around luck. Gladstone has the best luck, and Donald has the worst luck, but Scrooge is constantly reminding everybody that you make your own luck, right? That you know, everything he's got, he worked for, right place, right time, but only if you're prepared, sort of thing, right? Only if you've done the work, which is a very consistent thing with this version of Scrooge. I feel like that's sort of his mantra, and he's been trying to instill that in the boys, that it doesn't come easily. You know, you can't just jump into the money bin. It takes years of practice and learning how to swim through those gold coins. Everything about this Scrooge is about hard work and putting in an honest effort and that sort of thing. And then you've got Gladstone, who doesn't even try, and always comes out on top. And then Donald is always trying too hard. And it's almost the fact that he's trying so hard that is the source of his bad luck. Yeah, exactly. He's his own worst enemy. So when he's like 27, 27, 27, it's like you kind of realize that, Donald doesn't even know what game he's playing, right? He's just trying to win so badly that he doesn't realize that the only reason he's losing is because of himself. I think that the classic DuckTales, there's actually a pretty good sort of moral to the story here. It's undermined a little bit by the fact that Gladstone comes out on top anyways, but you know, that the hard work aspect and not giving up and that sort of thing, and Scrooge's continual lesson of, you know, like, I'm not rich because I'm lucky. I'm rich because I did the work. Right. So
it was weird to see Gladstone come out on top at the end. I think that's meant to be ironic, but it's usually he does get his comeuppance for being such a cocky hothead. Because he's always lording his luck over everybody. To have him just like escape, you know, eternal slavery or whatever.
Yeah.
And then turn around and go right back to his old lifestyle. It's like,
I feel like there's a bit of there's a bit of subtext there that even though he gets the yacht, the gold yacht at the end for $20, you know, he's just going to end up in hot water anyways. Right. It'll turn out that yacht was actually stolen, or he's going to go out to open waters and get attacked by pirates, or, you know,
we haven't seen the last of Gladstone for sure.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like although Gladstone has this perfect luck, it lands him in difficult situations, right? Mm-hmm. So, such is the life of a fictional character. Seems like everything that happens to you happens to get you into a crazier scenario than the last one.
My favorite moment in this episode is the second act twist when they find out that the villain in this, their host, the frog guy, Frog Louis High, is actually a demon and the whole thing's an illusion. That was a great twist. I did not see that coming. And so it was like, wow, they're just throwing everything on its head all of a sudden. Because you get hints that something's up.
Yeah.
Like Gladstone makes the eye contact with the panda and with the frog at certain points, and he's alluding to that he's brought them there for a reason, that there's help. But I was trying to figure out the whole time what the story was going to be here.
Yeah, you think it's like a crime boss sort of situation, not supernatural.
Right. Yeah, like they're going to kick him out of the casino or kill him because he's like weaseling all the money out of the casino because he's so lucky or something. But no, it's completely different, and it was great. I love it when, especially a kid's cartoon, can throw that at you and have you not expect it.
Yeah, totally.
Well, there aren't a whole lot of behind-the-scenes references or Easter eggs to note for this episode, at least relating to the overarching story.
Yeah.
They don't talk about Della. There's no, like, Lena's not in this episode, so Magica's not talked about at all or anything like that. It's just a really nice standalone episode, and they actually do go somewhere. They go to China, it seems.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to note that Gladstone Gander first appeared in a story called Wintertime Wager, which was in Walt Disney's Comics and Stories number 88 from 1948. And Scrooge came out in 1947. That's when he first appeared. So Gladstone is pretty much just as old as Scrooge is in terms of when they were created. But Gladstone never caught on to be a popular character like Scrooge did, that's for sure. And Gladstone made two appearances in classic DuckTales in the episodes Dime Enough for Luck and Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Duck, where he was voiced by Rob Paulsen.
Oh, nice.
And you can, when I was listening to Paul
Paul F. Tompkins. Yeah.
Yeah. When I was listening to Paul F. Tompkins do this voice, I could definitely hear Rob Paulsen in there a little bit as well.
Yeah. He was definitely channeling the original character.
Yeah.
From the classic one.
So Gladstone Gander in the comics, and I mentioned this before, he is a, he has all this luck and he lords it over everybody. Like, he makes a big deal. He pumps himself up that he is just so fortunate and has everything that falls into his lap. And he holds that over Donald all the time.
Mm-hmm.
However, when we see him in classic DuckTales, that aspect of Gladstone Gander is taken away.
Mm.
And he just kind of goes with the flow. He's very laid back and casual. And it's like, oh, this is happening to me, and doesn't make a big deal about it. And it was always for those of us who had read the comics and were familiar with his character, that version of Gladstone is a little bit different. And I think the main reason is because his main rival was Scrooge, not Donald Duck, because Donald wasn't in the show. So when you put in Donald Duck, who, you know, in his theme song in the old shorts, it's who's stuck with all the bad luck. So it literally is good luck versus bad luck.
Yeah.
It makes more sense for him to be in this show, in this version of DuckTales, the way he is more like the comics, because Donald is here.
Hmm.
So this version of Gladstone is more faithful to the comic book version of Gladstone Gander. So that was nice to see.
Cool.
The other thing I wanted to mention here is this villain, the Toad, Toad Louis High, Louis High, voiced by B.D. Wong.
Hmm.
Let's see here. So in ancient Chinese history, in the Taoist religion in the 10th century, there is a character, an immortal figure whose name is Louis High, or Louis Haichan. And he is the god of wealth. And he's often depicted with, in paintings and in sculptures and stuff, with a three-legged toad named Chan Chu. So this version, this character in this episode of DuckTales is sort of an amalgamation of this three-legged toad, although the toad has two legs and two arms in DuckTales.
Mm-hmm.
And he calls himself Louis High. So it's definitely a reference to this god from ancient Chinese history. And it's an interesting story. There are many stories kind of surrounding the origin of this three-legged toad, because it's been passed down orally through generations and generations. But one of the ones is that Louis High realized that the toad is the reincarnated spirit of his father. And one day he's looking down this well and sees the glowing red greedy eyes of this toad, and instantly recognizes it as being the spirit of his father. And his father was a greedy, petty official who his entire human life was spent squeezing peasants for money. And so he realized this, and then he tied a gold coin onto a string and put it down the well, and the frog couldn't help but grab the coin with his mouth and wouldn't let go because it was so greedy, and he was able to pull the toad out of the well. And so if you ever see ancient Chinese artifacts or sculptures or little things that depict a frog with a coin in its mouth, that's what this is a reference to.
Cool. Well, so, I feel like we all learned something tonight.
I think so.
How do you, how did you feel about, because we got more than one new anthropomorphic animal introduced in this episode, because we got a frog.
I thought about that.
As well as the panda, which goes outside of our regular duck, bird, and then, you know, the beagle, dog sort of dynamic. So we're adding in a few more animal type characters to the ecosystem, I guess, the this DuckTales ecosystem. Because in DuckTales, it is like the classic series, it is mostly ducks, a couple of other types of birds, and then a handful of dogs, mostly the Beagle Boys. So to have such a diversity in this one. Do you like? Is it weird to you? Because it was a little bit weird for me. It was a little like, especially
the frog.
Yeah, he was very weird. But you could tell something was up with him. But
yeah, I thought that was odd first. Now there is an episode of DuckTales where they meet pandas.
Okay.
Where they go to an Asian country, and that's kind of how they depict the Asian cultures with pandas.
Yeah.
And so that's not unusual. I kind of see like Duckburg is made up of ducks and dogs. But if you go to other parts of the world, you're going to find other races, and those races are represented by other animals.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that it was a little weird at first, but then once they revealed that it was, you know, nothing was real,
mm-hmm.
then I could, you know, you understand that the pandas and the frogs are figments of this illusion.
Yeah.
Which they should have batted an eye. Like, what are these weird creatures that we're seeing? But maybe they didn't want to be racist. Well, why don't we check in with Milo and Peter, our hosts of the Junior Woodchuck podcast.
Sure.
Hello, this is the Junior Woodchucks podcast, and my name is Peter.
My name is Milo.
And we're going to do House of the Lucky Gander. So, let's see. This guy, Donald's brother, I think? Cousin. He's the luckiest. So, once he said, oh, look, a $20. And then again, hey, look, a $20. And then, when they're in front of a bank, he was like, hey, look, a $20. Wait! That one's mine. Got it. And then he takes it, and then a thief comes, and then he trips, and then his cousin gets him, and, well, they thought Donald Duck was the thief.
Can you tell me about the bad guy for this episode?
Well, he's a giant toad. His name is Toad, right? And he is giant. He's like a master, a sensei, right? And he feeds
on luck.
What kind of luck?
Good luck.
Good luck, not bad luck. Good luck.
Yeah. Bad luck. And if bad luck goes in him, he shrinks and he loses his power.
No, he's dead.
Whatever. Anyways. That is really good. He is, like, so cool. But when bad luck comes, he shrinks. And he is gone.
A baby.
The funniest part of the episode for me is the part when they gone to the temple and Scrooge McDuck was looking at the cricket and I was like, and then all the others were like, can we go now? And in the when the cricket finished, well, the golden cricket finished, he said, okay, we could go now. Anyways, okay, let's sign out. Bye. See you next afternoon.
Got a good Facebook post from Mike Russo over on our Facebook page, facebook.com/tuneafternoon. And he commented, you know, it's funny. My wife and I thought Launchpad was the MVP of this episode and the funniest thing about it. This is in reference to Terror of the Terraformians. Then I went over to the AV Club and saw people trashing him in this episode. I was surprised, to say the least. So that's interesting because for us, I think that we both yeah. loved Launchpad. We
absolutely loved him. He was the best part of that episode.
Definitely the standout of that episode, really made that episode for me. To hear that other people don't like this character,
I can understand, though, because he's very different than the Launchpad from the old show. So if people aren't on board with that change, then yeah, they're not going to like him.
Yeah. Of course, it's the internet, and especially if you're going to the AV club, you're not likely to find that many people singing the praises of whatever you're reading about. It's going to be a lot of people. The AV club's going to generate a crowd that's very much about, if it were up to me, I would have done this way better, right? That's sort of the tone over there. So that's, I kind of steer clear personally, but, there's another piece of this comment. Mike writes really long comments, so forgive us if we don't read out the whole thing. But I do want to read this other part of his comment. We appreciate the comments, and we read them all the way through on the page, just maybe not always on the episode. But everybody should go to the Facebook page and interact. We would love it if you guys had conversations in these threads. But he says, lastly, the biggest appearance of Mickey Mouse during the Disney Afternoon era was on the Bonkers episode, I Oughta Be in Tunes. In it, a washed-up ex-child actor kidnaps Mickey Mouse and disguises himself as the famous mouse in order to sign a new movie contract in Mickey's name to be a star again. Mickey is never seen or mentioned by name. Everyone calls him the Mouse. But Wayne Allwine does voice him. He spends the entire episode locked inside a pet carrier. And when when Mike commented this and I read it, I was like, oh man, I totally remember that.
Yep, so do I.
I totally remember that episode. And I did not really watch Bonkers. I never really liked it.
Oh really? I loved it.
Yeah, I didn't like Bonkers very much. Bonkers always felt like a low rent Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
That's definitely true. Yeah. But it had its own legs, I thought.
But I remember this episode because it was a big deal that Mickey was sort of referenced. And even as a kid, I understood the implication there. It's interesting that because you can tell a story like that, they weren't allowed to show Mickey Mouse. Right.
Which is so weird because it's Disney, right?
But, you know, Disney, especially in that era, what kept such tight control over the Mickey and his friends characters, right? That was the era in which they were spinning out everything else. And so there was lots and lots of content that didn't have Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck. I mean, Goof Troop was on shortly after Bonkers would have been Quack Pack. But Goof Troop focused very much on Max and PJ. And Quack Pack obviously focused on the nephews quite a bit. And then the other characters like Goofy and Pete and Donald were incidental in those. Although they had, like, Goofy and Pete had their own standout episodes as well. But they weren't really the focus of those shows. But Mickey has always kind of been, like, a bit of a no-go. And I feel it's interesting because now... sort of in between when there wasn't really a lot to talk about in terms of Disney animation, there was a lot of Mickey Mouse centered content like House of Mouse, and a lot of the stuff on Disney Junior, that focused on Mickey and his friends. And then most recently in the last few years with all the new Mickey Mouse cartoons that they've been doing.
No, I love those.
Which are fantastic. Just phenomenal, phenomenal cartoons. They get back to the heart of the classic, you know, sort of vignette style Disney cartoons. That were really the bread and butter of Disney and what made Disney what it is before they started doing feature films. I think that they've opened that up a little bit more, especially due to the fact that that Mickey does not look like classic Mickey, right? They allowed them to redesign the characters, and which was, I think, the smartest thing that they could have done. And, you know, total tangent here, but Nintendo really, really needs to take a lesson from Disney in this and let some artists redesign Mario and those characters, because recently they released Mario plus Rabbids, which by all accounts is a fantastic game, but to me it's a little odd that they didn't create like a unified style, that the Rabbids still look like Rabbids and the Mario characters still look like the Mario characters, but they kind of mash their worlds together.
Right.
Whereas if they had done the approach that Disney Infinity did, which was stylize everything and then everything's in the same style, I think that game would have a little bit more artistic integrity behind it. People maybe would have taken it a little bit more seriously before it came out.
Mario has become that corporate icon, the corporate mascot that Mickey Mouse became as well. They can't do anything totally radical with him because he's the face of the company.
Yeah, but I think it's time. I think it's time for Nintendo to let go of that a little bit and take a
long overdue.
Take a hint from Disney and let somebody do something new and exciting with those characters. But the Mickey Mouse thing, this all sprung out of our conversation on the last episode about them potentially doing some sort of a Mickey Mouse starring cartoon, led cartoon, in this new DuckTales, Darkwing, shared universe that we hope that they're building. I think they're much more likely to do it now than they were back in the 90s. So hopefully we see something. I would love to see Mickey star in a show and not just the short cartoons, but actually have a narrative.
I think so.
To a story. And like the idea that we pitched last week, I think is the best route that they could go. And totally. Disney, you guys can just email us, tuneafternoon@gmail.com. If you want Curtis and I to write a spec script, we're happy to for a 22-minute pilot. Actually, I guess we get 44, right? They do the two-parters, right? So we get a 44-minute pilot where we get to team up Oswald and Mickey.
Their detective
agency. So
I think that'd be great.
Yeah.
I'm on board.
Awesome. I guess we've got our lucky dime rating for this episode. What do you think? What do you get?
You know, I wasn't blown away by this episode.
Yeah.
It had some great moments. Like I said, the twist was really good, but overall, I wasn't as on board with it as I have been in the other ones. So I think I'm going to give it probably 3 dimes and a nickel.
Okay. I'm going to go with 30 cents. For the actual storyline of the episode. But I'll give Launchpad and his adventure a full 50 cents.
Right.
Because I'm sure that whatever he was doing was way more interesting.
Yeah.
Right. It seemed like it was a lot more fun than the main episode was. Although the main episode was all right. It wasn't bad. Launchpad's story seemed like it was way better.
So we have our standings today. If you head over to Twitter, at Tune Afternoon, you can see our poll from last week. Day Trip of Doom was out and Terror of the Terraformians was in. And so I asked you to cast your vote on your favorite episode. And Terror of the Terraformians actually got no votes. 0.
Oh, no.
Beagle Birthday Massacre got 11%. And then Woohoo and the Great Dime Chase tied at 44% each.
Wow.
So that means Terror of the Terraformians is out, and in its place will be House of the Lucky Gander. So head over to at Tune Afternoon and cast your vote for your favorite episode out of those 4 and see which progresses to the next round.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, the next episode we're going to be talking about is The Infernal Internship of Mark Beeks. Here's the description. Huey competes with Dewey for a coveted internship with Duckburg's newest tech billionaire, Mark Beeks, while Scrooge and Glomgold team up to take this new competitor down.
I'm glad that Glomgold's back in the episode.
Yeah. Like I said, I've already watched this one. It's pretty good. It's pretty funny.
Good.
There's some good gags in it, but a very limited cast in this one. So
okay,
prepare for that.
Yeah, as long as Scrooge is there.
Yeah, he is. He is. Perfect. Cool. Well, that does it for this episode. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you on the next one.
See you next afternoon.
Don't forget, you can stay up to date with all the latest DuckTales news by heading to cartoonafternoon.com, where you'll find everything DuckTales and Disney cartoon related for the shows that we cover. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ToonAfternoon, as well as on Twitter at ToonAfternoon. And if you want to send us an email, you can do that by sending us an email at ToonAfternoon@gmail.com.
You can also find us on Twitter. You can find me at Curtis Findlay, KurtisFindlay.
And I'm on Twitter at ArkWulf, ArkWulf. And don't forget that we are part of the Thunderquack Podcast Network. Head to thunderquack.com to check out all the other great podcasts in our network. And if you want to support us, you can do that two ways. First, by heading to store.thunderquack.com to pick up some merch. Or you can head to patreon.com/thunderquack. And pledge your support over there. It's a monthly pledge. As low as $1 a month gets you access to the exclusive Thunderquack podcast, as well as the Thunderquack Patreon Facebook group. So that's patreon.com/thunderquack. And thank you to everybody who does support us over there.
Disney Dad's Cartoon Afternoon is not associated with the Disney Company in any way. All characters, titles, music, and everything is all copyright of their respective owners. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Disney Dad's Cartoon Afternoon.